Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Here I lay upon my dying pillow. Round my bed I see those tear-dimmed eyes. They are watching the saddest thing that can happen. They're seeing a sinner as he dies. Me.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is Word for Word, and this show is for the 23rd of April, 2018, and it is my 373rd Word for Word show. That's not counting the reruns, but this is one of the new ones. We will be going into a book of the Apocrypha called The Wisdom of Solomon. There are 19 chapters. I haven't really scheduled what I'm going to do each day. I'm going to read them as I get them. It's wisdom literature. I'm going to change the text because they have anglicized the text and taken out the name of Yahweh where it should be in and put in the Lord. And God, which is a pagan term, they have substituted for Elohim. This is in the Greek. But it needs to be corrected to be accurate. I will be doing that. You know, I am a stickler for that. That's why I have the audience that I have, because I pull no punches and I don't hedge around. I give it to you straight. That's the only way to do it with Scripture. You can't repeat errors when you know they're errors. You have to remove the errors. With all my studies that I've done over the years, I can spot them quite easily. And then I do the research on the passages. These verses from the Apocrypha are from the New Revised Standard Version of Scripture. I want to give my website where you can download all my stuff before I get started here. It's www.pastor-steve.com. All my word-for-word shows are on there, my wake-up call sermons, two seed line links to two seed line sites. I don't support anything but two seed line. Single seed line has a foot in the door, but they haven't gone all the way. So I cannot truly be supportive of that. Let us get into chapter 1. I will be reading the verse numbers here so you can follow along. Matter of fact, I really need to put my reading glasses on. I had the computer glasses, which are good for about 2 feet, but when I'm getting into these, especially the small text in this scripture, I need to have the correct glasses. So let's get started. This is chapter 1 of 19 chapters of the Wisdom of Solomon. This is an exhortation to uprightness. Okay? Verse 1. Pardon me. Love righteousness, you rulers of the earth. Oh, by the way, where they have the Lord, where Yahweh should be, I have replaced the holy name. Where they have God, which is a pagan term, I will be using Elohim. So I do want to tell you that before we get started. Love righteousness, you rulers of the earth. Think of Yahweh in goodness and seek him with sincerity of heart. Verse 2. Because he is found by those who do not put him to the test and manifests himself to those who do not distrust him. Verse 3. For perverse thoughts separate people from Elohim. And when his power is tested, it exposes the foolish. verse 4. Because wisdom will not enter a deceitful soul or dwell in a body enslaved to sin. Verse 5. For a holy and disciplined spirit will flee from deceit and will leave foolish thoughts behind and will be ashamed of the approach of unrighteousness. Verse 6. For wisdom is a kindly spirit, but will not free blasphemers from the guilt of their words, because Elohim is witness of their inmost feelings and a true observer of their hearts and a hearer of their tongues. Like I said, this is wisdom literature. A lot of this describes wisdom, and they address wisdom as a female, she, okay? They use the feminine to describe it. Verse 7. Because the Spirit of Yahweh has filled the world, and that which holds all things together knows what is said. Verse 8. Therefore, those who utter unrighteous things will not escape notice, and justice, when it punishes, will not pass them by. Verse 9. For inquiry will be made into the counsels of the ungodly, and a report of their words will come to Yahweh to convict them of their lawless deeds. Verse 10. Because a jealous ear hears all things, and the sound of grumbling does not go unheard. Verse 11. Beware then of useless grumbling, and keep your tongue from slander, because no secret word is without result. Okay, and the alternative version of that, without result, it means or will go unpunished. Continuing on. And a lying mouth destroys the soul. Verse 12. Do not invite death by the error of your life, or bring on destruction by the works of your hands. Verse 13. Because Elohim did not make death, and he does not delight in the death of the living. Verse 14. For he created all things so that they might exist. The generative forces, and the alternative version is the creatures of the world are wholesome, and there is no destructive poison in them, and the dominion, and the alternative version is or palace of Hades is not on earth. Now, Hades in Hebrew would be Sheol, the land of the dead. Verse 15, for righteousness is immortal. Now we go into a very short section of one verse in this chapter, and then goes into chapter 2, verse 16 of chapter 1. This is life as the ungodly see it. But the ungodly by their words and deeds summoned death, or him, summoned him. Considering him a friend, they pined away and made a covenant with him, because they are fit to belong to his company, the company of death. That ends chapter 1. This begins chapter 2, verse 1. For they reasoned unsoundly, saying to themselves, short and sorrowful is our life, and there is no remedy when a life comes to its end, and no one has been known to return from Hades, or in the Hebrew it would be Sheol, the land of the dead and its inhabitants. Verse 2 of chapter 2. For we were born by mere chance, and hereafter we shall be as though we had never been. For the breath in our nostrils is smoke, and reason is a spark kindled by the beating of our hearts. Verse 3. When it is extinguished, the body will turn to ashes, and the spirit will dissolve like empty air. Verse 4 of chapter 2. Our name will be forgotten in time, and no one will remember our works. Our life will pass away like the traces of a cloud, and be scattered like mist that is chased by the rays of the sun, and overcome by its heat. Verse 5 of chapter 2. For our allotted time is the passing of a shadow, and there is no return from our death, because it is sealed up, and no one turns back. Verse 6. Come, therefore, let us enjoy the good things that exist, and make use of the creation to the full as in youth. Verse 7. Let us take our fill of costly wine and perfumes, and let no flower of spring pass us by. Verse 8. Let us crown ourselves with rosebuds before they wither. Verse 9. Let none of us fail to share in our revelry. Everywhere let us leave signs of enjoyment, because this is our portion and this our lot. Verse 10. Let us oppress the righteous poor man. Let us not spare the widow or regard the gray hairs of the aged. Verse 11. But let our might be our law of right. For what is weak proves itself to be useless. Remember, this is life as the ungodly see it. This is a dissertation on how they think. Verse 12, let us lie in wait for the righteous man, because he is inconvenient to us and opposes our actions. He reproaches us for sins against the law and accuses us of sins against our training. Well, doesn't that hold true today? The actions of the wicked, the ungodly, this is how they think. They thought this way then. They think that way now. Okay? Verse 13 of chapter 2. He professes to have knowledge of Elohim and calls himself a child And an alternative is, or servant of Yahweh. Okay. Verse 14. He became to us a reproof of our thoughts. Verse 15. The very sight of him is a burden to us, because his manner of life is unlike that of others, and his ways are strange. Boy, oh boy. That's how they think. That's the wicked. Verse 16. We are considered by him as something base, and he avoids our ways as unclean. He calls the last end of the righteous happy, and boasts that Elohim is his Father. They're describing the righteous right now, and they don't like it, because the righteous believe and serve Yahweh. So this is how the wicked think. Verse 17, let us see if his words are true, and let us test what will happen at the end of his life. Verse 18. For if the righteous man is Elohim's child, he will help him and will deliver him from the hand of his adversaries. Verse 19. Let us test him with insult and torture, so that we may find out how gentle he is, and make trial of his forbearance. Verse 20. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for, according to what he says, he will be protected. Verse 21 of chapter 2. This is the error of the wicked. Thus they reasoned, but they were led astray, for their wickedness blinded them. Verse 22 of chapter 2. And they did not know the secret purposes of Elohim, nor hope for the wages of holiness, nor discern the prize for blameless souls. Verse 23. For Elohim created us for incorruption, and made us in the image of his own eternity, or nature. That's an alternative version. Verse 24. But through the devil's envy, death entered the world, and those who belong to his company experience it. And that ends chapter 2. Now, I've got 2 chapters in. I hope you have something to write these things down. These are notes and references to other scripture. In chapter 1 of this book, verse 1, refer to the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. In verse 13, of chapter 1, refer to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32, and chapter 33, verse 11. Also, 2 Esdras chapter 3, verse 7, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. That's for verse 13 of chapter 1. For verse 16 of chapter 1, refer to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36, and Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15, and Sirach chapter 14, verse 12. Now we get into the notes for chapter 2. I'm going to give you these references after every couple of chapters because they're down the bottom of the page. And if I start reading notes, it's going to break the rhythm of what I'm reading. Okay, verse 6 of chapter 2. Reference Isaiah chapter 22, verse 13, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 32, verse 23 of chapter 2. Reference Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Now we go into chapter 3 of the Wisdom of Solomon, and this concerns the destiny of the righteous. It's sort of an opposite to chapter 2, which is the thoughts of the wicked, okay? This is the destiny of the righteous. Verse 1 of chapter 3. But the souls of the righteous are in the hand of Elohim, and no torment will ever touch them. Let me get a little drink of coffee here. I need to wet the whistle. Oh, yes. And verse 2 of chapter 3, and you can reference the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 17. I gave that because I'm going to have to turn the page and I don't want to have to go back. Verse 2, in the eyes of the foolish, they seem to have died, and their departure was thought to be a disaster. That's what they think. Let's examine that. Okay. If you are one of his, one of Yahweh's own, you will sleep, but you won't suffer the second death. You will be awakened at the time of the coming of the Messiah. The dead will rise first. Oh boy. And that's what the evil ones are afraid of. We'll be back. Verse 3 of chapter 3. And they're going from us to be their destruction, but they are at peace. They will sleep with Yahweh until the time of resurrection. Okay? verse 4 of chapter 3. For though in the sight of others they were punished, their hope is full of immortality, eternal life through righteousness in Yahweh and the redemption of Yeshua HaMashiach, okay, the Messiah. Hope of immortality. Oh, praise Yahweh. Verse 5 of chapter 3. Having been disciplined a little, they will receive great good, because Elohim tested them and found them worthy of himself. Tried by fire in this world. Okay. Verse 6 of chapter 3. Like gold in the furnace he tried them, and like a sacrificial burnt offering he accepted them. Verse 7 of chapter 3. In the time of their visitation they will shine forth and will run like sparks through the stubble. What's the stubble? That's the tares in the stubble. In the time of Yahweh's wrath, that we will help burn the Edomites and the children of the devil and those who serve the devil. They will be as tares for the burning, okay? That's what this tells us right here. Verse 8 of chapter 3. They will govern nations and rule over peoples, and Yahweh will reign over them forever. Well, what does the name Israel mean? Israel means you will overcome with El, the divine being, or as divine beings. What will our job be after the Messiah returns? He's going to be our eternal king, and we will be his administrators. Not everybody is going to be destroyed. There will be other peoples here. There will not be Israel, and they will not enter the holy city. But those who have not opposed Israel and Yahweh and acknowledge that he is Elohim, they won't be destroyed. Okay? Only the wicked, okay? Just the wicked. They won't have eternal life. They won't be Israel. But they will live a normal life here if they haven't been part of the opposition. Read the scriptures. It doesn't say everybody is going to be destroyed except Israel. It doesn't say that. Verse 9 of chapter 3. Those who trust in him will understand truth, and the faithful will abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are upon his holy ones, the set apart people, okay? And he watches over his elect. And this is uncertain, this line. And it says compare to chapter 4 verse 15. I'm just giving you what the notes say. You need to know about that. His elect. Well, he does watch over his elect, his chosen people. Okay, real Israel, not the pretenders. And this section of chapter 3, it says it's the destiny of the ungodly. They have little subtitles here. Verse 10 of chapter 3. But the ungodly will be punished as their reasoning deserves. Ooh, lake of fire. Those who disregarded the righteous, or what is right, that's the alternative version, and rebelled against Yahweh. I talked to children of the adversary, those that served them. They rebelled against Yahweh. They didn't want to hear it. Oh, we don't want to hear all that. Okay. You don't want to hear it. Well, take what comes with that. Verse 11. For those who despise wisdom and instruction are miserable. Their hope is vain, in other words, worthless. Their labors are unprofitable, and their works are useless. It's all going to burn up. Verse 12 of chapter 3. Their wives are foolish and their children evil. Verse 13. Their offspring are accursed. And this shifts and goes to childlessness. This is a continuation of verse 13. For blessed is the barren woman who is undefiled, who has not entered into a sinful union. She will have fruit when Elohim examines souls. All right, she didn't marry, she didn't have children, but she led a righteous life. And the fruit of her righteousness is what she's going to bear, that she will be blessed because of that. Not everybody has to have kids, okay? Verse 14 of chapter 3. Blessed also is the eunuch whose hands have done no lawless deed, and who has not devised wicked things against Yahweh, for special favor will be shown him for his faithfulness, and a place of great delight in the temple of Yahweh. Okay, they had made eunuchs of many righteous people. Daniel was one such. Okay, he had been made a eunuch, but served Yahweh. He didn't volunteer for that. They took him and they cut him. But he served Yahweh. He didn't curse and say, oh, woe is me. They've done this to my parts. He served Yahweh and is righteous and was a prophet. Okay? Verse 15 of chapter 3, for the fruit of good labors is renowned, and the root of understanding does not fail. Verse 16, but children of adulterers will not come to maturity, and the offspring of an unlawful union will perish. Verse 17 of chapter 3. Even if they live long, they will be held of no account. And finally, their old age will be without honor. In other words, they will be known as bastards. And that's not a swear word, that's a description of a person that does not have legitimate parents. verse 18 of chapter 3. If they die young, they will have no hope and no consolation on the day of judgment. Verse 19 of chapter 3. For the end of an unrighteous generation is grievous. That ends chapter 3 of the Wisdom of Solomon. And verses 5 and 6 of chapter 3. There's only one note here. You can reference Romans chapter 8, verse 18, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Now we go into chapter 4. This is a continuation of this theme. Verse 1. Better than this is childlessness, boy, I stumbled over that, with virtue. For in the memory of virtue, or it, is immortality, because it is known both by Elohim and by mortals. Virtuous. Verse 2 of chapter 4. When it is present, people imitate it or honor it. Okay? And they long for it when it has gone. Throughout all time it marches crowned in triumph, victor in the contest for prizes that are undefiled. Boy, is this poetic. Wow, this is beautiful. Verse 3 of chapter 4. But the prolific brood of the ungodly will be of no use, and none of their illegitimate seedlings will strike a deep root or take a firm hold. Verse 4. For even if they put forth boughs for a while, standing insecurely, they will be shaken by the wind. They're comparing them to a shallow-rooted tree. And by the violence of the winds, they will be uprooted. In other words, they'll be blown over. Verse 5 of chapter 4. The branches will be broken off before they come to maturity, and their fruit will be useless, not ripe enough to eat, and good for nothing. Now they're talking about their progeny. Verse 6 of chapter 4. For children born of unlawful unions are witnesses of evil against their parents when Elohim examines them, or at their examination. Okay. Verse 7, chapter 4. But the righteous, though they die early, will be at rest. Verse 8. For old age is not honored for length of time, or measured by number of years. Verse 9. But understanding is gray hair for anyone, and a blameless life is ripe old age. Not necessarily length of years, but the righteousness of your life will be considered maturity. Okay? That's what he's saying here. verse 10 of chapter 4. There were some who pleased Elohim and were loved by him, and while living among sinners were taken up. Verse 11, that means they passed. Verse 11, they were caught up so that evil might not change their understanding or guile deceive their souls. In other words, Yahweh removed them from among the wicked. He entered their life, but they will be resurrected. They will not suffer that second death. He protected them by taking them. Okay? That's difficult to understand for some, but I understand it. Verse 12 of chapter 4. For the fascination of wickedness obscures what is good, and roving desire perverts the innocent mind, like watching television with all the devilish shows. Verse 13. Being perfected in a short time, they fulfilled long years. Verse 14. For their souls were pleasing to Yahweh. Therefore he took them quickly from the midst of wickedness. In other words, they fulfilled their task in life. Yahweh was pleased with them, so they didn't have to stay here. Verse 15. Listen to this. Yet the people saw and did not understand or take such a thing to heart, that Elohim's grace and mercy are with his elect, and that he watches over his holy ones. That would be the remnant, the people of Yahweh, the true chosen people of Israel. Those of Israel that actually want to be obedient. Now there are those in Israel that are not willing to be obedient. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. Now here's a section of chapter 4 called the Triumph of the Righteous. They have these titles here. I like that. These are nice. Verse 16 of chapter 4. The righteous who have died will condemn the ungodly who are living, and youth that is quickly perfected or ended will condemn the prolonged old age of the unrighteous. No matter how long they live, they're going to be rotten their whole life. And compared to the righteousness of those that maybe die young, their life is worthless. That's what he's saying right there. Verse 17 of chapter 4. For they will see the end of the wise and will not understand what Yahweh purposed for them and for what he kept them safe. The unrighteous, they just don't get it. They don't get it. They're blind. Okay, verse 18. The unrighteous, or they, will see and will have contempt for them, but Yahweh will laugh them to scorn. After this, they will become dishonored corpses when they finally die, and an outrage among the dead forever. They won't be respected even in death, in other words. Verse 19, because he will dash them speechless to the ground and shake them from the foundations. They will be left utterly dry and barren, and they will suffer anguish, and the memory of them will perish. All right, now we come into another section of chapter 4 called the Final Judgment, and it extends into chapter 5. I'm going to hold off because I'm looking at this. Got a 9 minutes and there are 23 verses. Let's try it. Okay. This is verse 20 of chapter 4. This will end that chapter. They will come with dread when their sins are reckoned up, and their lawless deeds will convict them to their face. Now that ends chapter 4. But this is continuing on in 5 with the final judgment. This is verse 1 of chapter 5. Let me get the references for chapter 4. Verse 1 of chapter 4. You can reference Sirach, chapter 16, verse 3, and verses 10 through 14 of chapter 4. Reference Genesis, chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Sirach, chapter 44, verse 16. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Okay, this is verse 1 of chapter 5. We'll see what we can get done here. Then the righteous will stand with great confidence in the presence of those who have oppressed them, and those who make light of their labors. People that ridicule the righteous, in other words. Verse 2. When the unrighteous, or they, see them, they will be shaken with dreadful fear, and they will be amazed at the unexpected salvation of the righteous. They won't get it until they see it. Oh no. Verse 3. They will speak to one another in repentance, and in anguish of spirit they will groan and say, verse 4. These are persons who we once held in derision and made a byword of reproach. Fools that we were. We thought that their lives were madness and that their end was without honor. They're going to be facing people that they faced here. The judgment day. Verse 5. Why have they been numbered among the children of Elohim? And why is their lot among the saints? Their lot among the saints. Verse 6. So it was we who strayed from the way of truth, and the light of righteousness did not shine on us, and the sun did not rise upon us. Verse 7. We took our fill of the path of lawlessness and destruction, and we journeyed through trackless deserts. But the way of Yahweh we have not known. Verse 8. What has our arrogance profited us? And what good has our boasted wealth brought us? Are you hearing that? It's hay and stubble. Verse 9. All those things have vanished like a shadow and like a rumor that passes by. Okay. Verses 10 through 12, you can reference Proverbs 30, verse 19. This is written by Solomon. He repeated this. Verse 10. Like a ship that sails through the billowy water, and when it is passed, no trace can be found, no track of its keel in the waves. Verse 11. Or as when a bird flies through the air, no evidence of its passage is found. The light air lashed by the beat of its pinions, that type of feather, and pierced by the force of its rushing flight, is traversed by the movement of its wings, and afterward no sign of its coming is found there. Verse 12. Or as when an arrow was shot at a target, the air, thus divided, comes together at once, so that no one knows its pathway. Just right past you. That's the arrow. Verse 13. So we also, as soon as we were born, ceased to be, and we had no sign of virtue to show, but were consumed in our wickedness. Verse 14. Because the hope of the ungodly is like thistledown or dust, carried by the wind, and like a light frost or spider's web, driven away by a storm. It is dispersed like smoke before the wind, and it passes like the remembrance of a guest who stays but a day. Now I'm going to stop here. I don't have enough time. I will continue beginning at verse 15 of chapter 5 on the next show on the 25th. So I will say, may Yahweh bless and keep you. And thank you for listening. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.